interior fellowship as we continue on here in the doctrine of peace. Here under Roman numeral 7, we're dealing with the false or pseudo-peace that the cosmos has to offer. Picking up here, point H, page 4 of our notes, during these last days, there is a worldwide peace movement that Satan manipulates to blind men concerning the coming wrath. It is designed to promote a pseudo-millennium. Under the reign of the Antichrist, obviously, is the intention of Satan in this regards. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-11, talks about the last days and the aspect that peace is going to be a primary political cry in regards to mankind. Now as to the duration of time, verse 1, and the events or epics, brothers, you have no need of anything to be written to you. They've already been given the doctrine in this respect. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. For the sleeping unbeliever, unaware in regards to doctrine and eschatology of prophecy, while they are saying peace and safety, the destruction will come upon them suddenly like birth pangs upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness. The darkness of the human viewpoint that is pervasive in regards to the viewpoint of the world, that the day should overtake you like a thief. We are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. The fact that he's writing to church age believers, while this obviously is going to be fulfilled ultimately in the tribulational period, this implies at least that we're going to be privy in regards to this movement that we will see come to its head, if you will, during the tribulational period. Otherwise, why is he writing this to church age believers for them and exhorting them? That's because people, the false doctrine that comes out of this, obviously is set forward first, and that occurs during our existence and time in history. All the international New World Order propaganda that's being espoused is part of this. So then, and let us not sleep spiritually as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night. Those who get drunk at night. Generally, people tend to sin under cover of darkness to hide it. But since we are the day, Bible doctrine is not designed to operate that capacity. Let us be sober, a spiritual sobriety, having put on a breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, that's the day of the Lord, but for obtaining deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ via the rapture. He died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, no matter our spiritual condition, whether dull or adjusted, we may live together with him. All believers will be raptured. Therefore, encourage one another, build up one another, just as you also are doing. Then in 2 Thessalonians, he brings it out more specifically in regards to the Antichrist involvement. That's verses 1 through 12. Now we request you, brothers, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that it would be the rapture, that you may not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as if from us to the fact that the day of the Lord has come. People will sometimes appeal, false teachers will sometimes appeal to a legitimate individual communicator as a form of support in regards to what they're trying to proclaim. And Paul says, don't fall for this stuff. You're to test the spirit, see. Part of the fact that the spirit's involved in this regard is to test the spirit. You get in fellowship, you look at the doctrine. And that'll enlighten you whether what they're saying is true or not. Let no one in any way deceive you. For it will not come unless the apostasy, or falling away, literally, comes first. That's the rapture. The Laodicean period of the church coming to completion, where God will vomit the church out of his mouth under those conditions. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, so the Antichrist, rapture must occur, then the Antichrist must appear, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes a seat in the temple of God, that's midway in the trib, beginning of the day of the Lord. explaining himself as God, being God, the technical aspect of the day of the Lord. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, or it, so that in his time he may be revealed. That's God, the Holy Spirit. God's in control of history. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Removed for the dispensational aspect of God's history to continue on, re-emerging back with the age of Israel in its final 7 years. And then that lawless one will be revealed. It is after the rapture. The Antichrist is not going to be revealed before the rapture. It's after the rapture. Chronologically here in our verse. Then, see, and then the lawless one will be revealed. And that is Alexander the Great, who will be resuscitated and appear back on this planet to the awes of people around him in unbelief, going, wow. I think that, wow. Whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth, bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. Simply speaking out of existence, if you will. Tossing calcitosis. The breath of his mouth. And wipe him out, as we know. That is the one who is coming in accord with the activity of Satan with all power and signs and false wonders. Obviously, i.e. the Antichrist. With all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they do not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. Can't get anywhere with God. Under his terms of love and peace, if you don't embrace the truth, understand that. You want to take issue with the truth, then you're just taking issue with God. And all you're doing is hindering your own spiritual advance. And these, obviously, who remain in unbelief, completely repudiate, reject God's word for salvation, disregards that this is not the Messiah as he so proclaims. And for this reason, God will send upon them, that's negative, listen, a deluding influence that they might believe what is false. People don't want to believe the truth, then God, under his permissive will, allows Satan to perform extraordinary acts through individuals to take them on under, to take them down. And that's something, obviously, that you ought to be righteously fearful of. Of rejecting Bible doctrine, and in rejecting of it, God allows some influence to delude you further and to basically take you away. How do you think people get into no second chance category? They're influenced somehow, some way. All of us are influenced by people around us, generally speaking, even though we think we're self-wise. As believers, we must be wise to the propaganda and tactics of pseudo-peacemakers. Recognizing, obviously, how important it is to recognize the condition of the planet in the last days of the church. What's the church going to offer corporately, overall, to assist believers in this respect? Next to nothing. Nothing but a mixture of truth and error, confusing people. I've had Fundies tell people that got on doctrine that, you can read any book in the Bible, but just stay away from Revelation. It's too hard to understand. And that person admitted that's when they started Bible classes, under Revelation. Well, it wasn't that hard to understand. But, you know, that's a typical Fundy mentality, because they've never heard sound teaching a Bible doctrine before. So you have propaganda campaigns, tactics of the pseudo-peacemakers. And trust me, they're alive and well and operating in our government. One, they preach peace, but evil is in their hearts. Again, the hypocrisy. We're trying to establish democracy throughout different nations to ultimately bring about peace. They want the money, they want the oil, they want the control, they want the power. The great merchants are in charge of this. People need to get recognize that. All you have is puppets that are politically in power. They're all being pulled by their billfold strings. See? get somebody like Ron Paul there, that would be amazing to begin with. And of course, once again, you see in this presidential camp, our church may get taxed for this because I'm doing a political advisory. Never mind. Listen to the news. See, that's the way it is. That's how evil our government's becoming and has become. How the media will not even give him hardly any time of the day in regards to exposure. Like he's some non-entity that just happens to be there.
Oh, well. Now, we'll just all love and embrace Hillary.
Psalm 28:3. So, see, I give even time. Psalm 28. Prayer of David. Do not drag me away with the wicked and with those who work iniquity. That's evil. Schemes of deceit to pull people into their agenda. Who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. Now, Israel is pretty astute to that. Palestinian government is trying to go to the UN and bypass, trying to get on, become, have them proclaim them as a nation, as a sovereign nation, as they continue to pound Israel with their missiles. Boy, how that almost came out. Constantly saying, oh, we want peace, we want peace. And the world just, man, it ought to just hack you off big time. I just see this kind of stuff that goes on. Here's a big daddy over here. We'll handle this for you, Israel. We got our hope. They make promises, which are lies, in order to secure surrender. Isaiah 36:13-20, as an example. Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in Judea and said, hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you, nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, Lord will surely deliver us. The city shall not be given to the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make the peace with me and come out to me, and eat each of his vine and each of his own fig tree, drink of the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards. As the king of Assyria is using his ploy that we'll treat you good. Don't listen to this believe on Lord crap. See, don't listen to these religious nuts. Until I come and take you away, verse 17, to a land like your own land, land of grain, new wine, land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah mislead you, saying the Lord will deliver us, as any one of the gods of the nations delivered his land from the hand of the king of Syria. Wow. Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? And when have they delivered Samaria from my hand? Among all the gods of these lands, have delivered the land from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand. Well, obviously, he's never run across God before, truly. Anyway, just an example of the ploy that people will use. I just want to be your friend. Right. Will cry when war comes, these same types. When it does hit, God lowers the boom. They'll be crying like little girls. Behold, their brave men cry in the streets. Ambassadors of peace weep bitterly. All right, Roman numeral 8, national and international peace. A, peace is using the Word of God to describe the absence of warfare. as we would understand peace between nations. Obviously, 1 Kings 4:24. Solomon, during his time and power in Israel, Solomon was a king of peace. He was not like his father David, who was a warrior king. He was a king of peace. In fact, David got gigged because he wanted to build a temple, but God said, no, because you are a king of war. And this is reserved for a king of peace. And that was their niche as kings. And Solomon, for he had dominion over everything west of the river. Verse 24, from Tishah even to Gaza, over all the kings west of the river. And he had peace on all sides round about him. Maximum blessing comes during this period of time. Obviously, in part, was established because of his predecessor David, his father David. And he enjoyed the perks off of it. 2 Chronicles 20:30. So the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God gave him rest on all sides. Being warfare has been a regular feature of human existence, and will continue to be so based on the failure of men to orient to the plan of God. Nations that reject the norms and standards of God's word as a nation. Ecclesiastes 3:8. Time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. And Matthew 24:6. And you'll be hearing in the last days of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened, but for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. There's going to be a consistent conflict throughout this world for the rest of our history. You'll probably take that one to your bank. Unfortunately, probably not. I mean, it's going to be based on any righteous principles. See, nations individually are promised peace by the Lord in relation to the level at which that nation and its leaders acclimate to Bible doctrine. You have the aspect of the promise to Israel. If they would adhere to the covenant, conditional covenant, that blessing would come upon them, versus national discipline. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28:15-19 first. First this cursing in contrast to the blessing, which is the first part of the chapter. If you will not obey the Lord your God, it shall come about, verse 15, to observe and do all his commandments and statutes with which I charge you today. All of these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Curse you will be in the city, and curse you shall be in the country. You see, you want to get away from city life and the crime and stuff of urban areas. You live out in the suburbs or out in the... doesn't make any difference anymore. Be in some small podunk town, some guy walk in a restaurant and wipe you out. So it doesn't make any difference. Evil is becoming more and more pervasive in our society in that regard, no matter where you live. you know, get away from. Of course, you'll be your basket and your kneading bowl, the economy, food prices going up, government getting involved and not letting independent farmers sell anything apart from genetically all the kind of crap you got to eat today. And I call it that because that's what it is. And get me going again. Here we go. People wonder why I take vitamins every day. 18, curse will be the offspring of your body, your children, and the produce of your ground. What is it? One out of 40 kids now are diagnosed with cancer. One out of 40? Or 43, I think, to be accurate, is what I heard. Why, where did this come from? Even back when I was young, kids, you hardly ever heard of a kid getting cancer. Just the old farts. You know. And God took them out that way. Now, it's becoming pervasive. If you can't see it, you can't see it. And if you do, obviously, you're sitting there going, yeah, I hear you. And the produce of your ground, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock, curse shall you be when you come in, curse shall you be when you go out. Life is nothing but really constant misery as you pursue everything in life to try to bring about some modicum of happiness. Then verses 25 and 26, the Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them, but you shall flee seven ways before them. You shall be an example of terror to all the kingdoms of the earth, this to Israel. We started going that path as a nation in Vietnam. What a sad state of affairs that was. And all the people that put their hope and trust in our country to help them out get slaughtered by the communists after the fact. And you read up in all your history. See what happened the day we left. What's going on anyway? Your carcasses shall be food to all the birds of the sky, to the beasts of the earth, and there shall be no one to frighten them away. Uh, 49 and 50. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth. His eagle swoops in a nation whose language you should not understand. How many here understand Russian? Oh, they don't like that piece of humor. A nation of fierce countenance. You shall have no respect for the old, no sure favor to the young. Of course, this is it that he's dealing with here. But I'm just paralleling it. 2 Chronicles 21, 12 through 17. God cursed Israel and blessed it based on the nation and how it adhered to doctrine. Usually that's emulated through their kings. They have, most of their kings were evil, negative. But some were positive, such as Solomon, David, Josaphat, applied doctrine in that regard. And a letter came to him from Elijah, the prophet, saying, verse 12, thus says the Lord God, your father David, because you had David being the standard of all the positive kings of Israel, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, your father, in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but have walked in the way of kings of Israel, and have caused Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to play the harlot, as the house of Ahab played the harlot. And you have also killed your brothers, your own family, who were better than you. Some of the SD activity that went on, man, unbelievable. Murdering their own family. Behold, the Lord is going to strike your people, your sons, your wives, and all your possessions with a great calamity. And you will suffer severe sickness and disease of your bowels until your bowels come out because of the sickness day by day. Yow. They don't make enough toilet paper for this disease. Then the Lord stirred up against Jehoram, the spirit of the Philistines, the Arabs, the border of the Ethiopians, they came against Judah, invaded it, carried away all the possessions found in the king's house, together with his sons and his wives, so that no son was left to him, except Jehoahaz, the youngest of the sons. So just as examples of not acclimating to God's plan nationally. Indeed, because of the SDA and predatory nature of certain nations, the earth will not know the absence of war until the millennium. unbelievable that we have become one of these kinds of nations. We're predatory anymore. It's putting our nose into people's business where it doesn't belong. National. E, at that time, Christ, the Prince of Peace, will establish his kingdom on the planet from Zion will rule with the nations of the earth. Because of the SCA, obviously, international world peace is going to be impossible. But Christ, through absolute righteousness, will eventually establish that peace, obviously, in the millennium. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. The name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of this government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness, and then on and evermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies, will accomplish this. And Revelation 20. Regards the New Jerusalem, new heavens and new earth, where ultimate peace for all eternity will be established. See the new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and first earth passed away, and there is no longer sea. I saw the holy city of New Jerusalem come down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. He will dwell among them, they will be his people. God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I'm making all things new. He said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, It's done. Oh, that's verse chapter 21. All right, never mind. About 1,000 years of peace, chapter 20. I kept getting that glance out of the peripheral vision in my eyes. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. That's the one we want here. Sorry about that. Revelation 20. Forgive me and move on. I could still be positive. Surprise, surprise. I saw an angel coming down from the heaven, having a key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and threw him into the abyss, and shut it and sealed it over him so that he should not see the nations any longer. Till 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. And I saw thrones. They set upon them, and judgment was given to them. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus, tribulation of martyrs, and because of the word of God, those who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received the mark upon their forehead, upon their head, and their hand. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until after 1,000 years were completed. As to the unbelievers versus believers. This is the first resurrection. Behold, and holy is the one who has part of the first resurrection. Over these, second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. And after those 1,000 years, Satan will be released temporarily. So at this period of international peace will last for 1,000 years. G, Jesus' kingdom will be established after the military defeat of his enemies. Daniel 2, 44 and 45. And in the days of those kings, under the revived Roman Empire, which is the context going into this, Antichrist regime, God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. That kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. The kingdom comes in two stages, millennial and eternal. Inasmuch as you saw that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, so that the crust of iron, the bronze, the clay, silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king that will take place in the future, so the dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy. that being Romans 16:20. May God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And Revelation 19. Picture of Christ's second advent. And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse. He sat upon it, was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems. His name is written upon him, and he has a name written upon him which no one knows except himself. And he's clothed with a robe dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. Better than any football game you've ever been to, I guarantee you that. The armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white, clean, will fall on him on white horses. And that's the company of resurrection saints of the church that will follow Christ and return with him. With our own white vehicles. Continuing on here, verse 15, and from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he might smite the nations. He will rule them with a rod of iron. He treads winepress the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and cried out with a loud voice, saying to all the birds which fly mid heaven, all the carrion birds, come assemble for the great supper of God. Nor that you may eat the flesh of the kings, the flesh of commanders, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, those that sit on them, the flesh of all men, both free men and slaves, and small and great. All the unbelievers that rebelled and aligned themselves with Satan's cosmic plan under the Antichrist, under Alexander. And I saw the beasts and kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him, and set upon the horse and against his army. The beast was seized. Within the false prophet, he performed the signs of the presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast, those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive in the lake of fire which burned with brimstone. So they get to be first occupants. Antichrist, false prophet. And the rest were killed with the sword which came from the mouth of him, set upon the horse, and all the birds were killed with their flesh. Or Jesus of love, being pictured right there. 8, it is a time of no armed conflicts among nations during the millennial period. I've already seen verses to that effect. Addition, Isaiah 2:4. And he will judge between the nations and will render decisions for many peoples. In regards to his millennial rule. And they will hammer the swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn the war under his rule. Hosea 2:12. Destroy her vines and fig trees, which she said, these are my wages which my lovers have given me. Wait a second. 2:18. I think I'm awake, my eyes are open. I just can't breathe. I guess that's kind of, is that a simile? Paradox. In that day I will also make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, the birds of the sky, and creeping things of the ground. now abolish the bow, the sword, and the war from the land, and will make them lie down in safety upon us in regards to Israel. That would be during the millennial reign. Micah 4, 2 and 3. Many nations will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain, to Zion, of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He may teach us about his ways, and we may walk in his paths. Nations following the righteous will of Christ and applied to their own national rule. From Zion we will go forth, the law, and even the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge between many peoples and render decisions to mighty distant nations. Then they will hammer their swords and plowshares and spears into Prima, books, nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they train for war. In Zechariah 9:10. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem. The bow of war will be cut off, and will speak peace to the nations. And his dominion will be from sea to sea and from the river to the end of the earth. During this time, peace will exist in lower creation. Carnivorous, predatory types of animals will, God will reprogram their brain computers to be peaceful. Isaiah 11, 6 and 9. Wolf will dwell with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. The little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. So they go from carnivore to herbivore in regards to their diets. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra. And the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Bible doctrine will prevail completely and totally. In Isaiah 65:25. Wolf and lamb shall graze together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. Thus will be the serpent's food. They shall not; they shall do no evil or harm in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. So Israel will dwell in peace in the land of promise. Isaiah 32:17-18. The work of righteousness will be peace. The service of righteousness, quietness and confidence forever. That my people will live in peaceful habitation and secure dwellings and in undisturbed resting places. Isaiah 55:12. For you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. 60:18. Even nature is personified as living in great blessing. The violence will not be heard again in your land, verse 18, nor devastation or destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. 66:12. For thus says the Lord, give peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. You will be nursed, you will be carried on the hip and fondled on the knees. Ezekiel 28:26. They will live in it securely, the land, and they will build houses, plant vineyards, and live securely. And I execute judgments upon all who scorn them around about them, that they will know that I am the Lord their God. So, okay, till that time, nations are advised to heed Joel 3:10 as a matter of survival. Plowshares into swords, your pruning hooks into spears. Do the opposite until that time. But the weak say, "I am mighty." I am a mighty man. Nations, that be prepared. Last days, because the president of nations will be out there. Roman numeral 9. Now some concluding observations of the use of peace in Scripture. The Lord used such a greeting to his disciples when he appeared to them after his resurrection to settle their troubled hearts. John 20:19-21. Common term of a greeting was for peace beyond the individuals. And Christ used it after his resurrection as the disciples thought they had seen a ghost. B. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, bid him farewell, demonstrating all was well between them. Exodus 4:18. See, it was used in a general sense, as in 1 Samuel 25:6, simply like our hello of peace. Kind of like a rhetorical, how are you? D, it is used to inquire if there is hostile intent, to make sure everything is all right between parties. 2 Kings 9:17. E, you can look these verses up on your own. E. Jesus used the word in encouraging faith one context to the woman who anointed him. Peace upon her for her application, Luke 7:50. F. When the 70 stayed as guests with others, the disciples that Jesus sent out in ministry, they were to say, "Peace be to this house," as hospitality would be applied. That emphasizes divine blessing for the hospitality. But if the host turned out to be antagonistic to peace, their blessing would come back to them. They would wipe their feet off in symbolism, to be symbolic in regards to the hostility towards doctrine. And whatever blessing a person would have got normally for applying towards positive volition, they got the blessing. Luke 10:5-6. G, used by those intended to deceive you. So obviously, if that's possible, demands that you keep doctrine at the forefront in regards to all that you think and do, so you lessen your chance of being deceived. Psalm 55:20-21. H is used as a benediction upon Israel and Jerusalem, a blessing. Psalm 122:6-8, 125:5, 128:6. I is used in salutations and benedictions of epistles to express a legitimate desire on the part of the author for his readers. Grace, mercy, peace, etc. Romans 1:7, 1 Corinthians 1:3, 1 Timothy 1:2. 1, this peace comes from God. 2, is only for those that line up with sound doctrine. Galatians 6:16, our final two verses here. And those who will walk by this rule of Bible doctrine and a new birth, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. And then Philippians 4:9. The things you have learned, received, and heard, and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. John 14:27. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, Holy Spirit, continue to lighten these things in Jesus' name.